This morning, I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 2. Continue working our way through the Gospel of Mark, and this morning we're looking at the last part of chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 23. But before we turn our attention to God's Word, let's ask Him for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now turn our attention to your word, we ask that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. Powers like the working of your mighty strength, which you exerted in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly realms. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 23, let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking his word to us. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" The grass withers and the flowers fall. The word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, some people seem to think that Christianity is all about obeying rules and regulations. They think that Christianity is about the do's and the don'ts, cold and deadly sets of moral principles. That's it. Now, this is called legalism. Basically, when the commands are separated from your relationship to Christ. When you're only keeping God's law as an end in and of itself, rules for rules' sake, and you miss the reason for the rules and the commands, the purpose. Now, God does care about us following his commandments, but there's more to it than just routine following his commands. There's more to the story that we have to keep in mind because God first was gracious. He first graciously saves us, and then he tells us how to live for him. And that's why the essence of Christianity is grace. The essence of Christian theology is grace. The essence of what we do as Christians is thankfulness for that grace. That's the foundation for our ethics, for our morality. So if thankfulness for what Christ has done for you is not the reason for your obedience, then you're living legalistically. Legalist separates God's law from God, who gave the law. He's not so much seeking to obey God or to honor Christ as much as he is obeying rules that are separated from a personal relationship with Christ. There's no love. There's no joy, there's no life, there's no passion. It's repetition, mechanical, law-keeping, all based on externalism, superficial. Legalist focuses only on obeying the bare rules and destroys the broader context of God's love and redemption in which he gave those laws in the first place. And we see this happening in Mark chapter 2 this morning. The Pharisees are adding extra rules to the fourth commandment, covering the Sabbath day. Now at creation, God set aside one day in seven in order to rest. Fast forward to the Exodus. After God delivered his people, he re-emphasized that commandment, giving them a day to rest and using that deliverance as their motivation for rest. One, you're created in God's image. Rest on the seventh day. Two, I've delivered you as my people, therefore rest on the seventh day. And this resting, this deliverance is just a taste. The purpose of this resting is to give a taste of what is coming in the Messiah, when we will have that ultimate rest, when this rest is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so in this way, throughout Scripture, the Sabbath pointed forward to Christ. For Israel to remember and celebrate the Sabbath was a way of looking forward to and anticipating Christ, the one who delivers us from our slavery to sin, the one who gives us the eternal rest that we long for. The reason for keeping the laws, the reason for keeping the Sabbath day holy, was because God had given us space to rest and to celebrate and look forward to the Messiah. But when those laws are separated from the relationship, when legalism takes over, you end up with dry, dead rules and regulations without understanding the deeper reason why. You end up following rules that point to Christ and missing the fact that Christ is literally standing right in front of you. The Sabbath was made for man, Jesus says. Not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a blessing given to you for your good. You weren't created to be a legalistic slave to the Sabbath. What's required in our passage, what we're learning this morning, is don't be legalistic. Make sure your Sundays draw your attention to Christ and not to your own personal list of do's and don'ts. Any view or practice of Sabbath that focuses on our behavior one day of the week instead of placing our focus on the accomplished work, the redemption that is ours by grace in Jesus Christ, is off topic, off target, missing the point. How does the way you spend Sunday help you to better see Christ and what he has done for you? Or, flip side, how does it distract you from seeing Christ and remembering, celebrating what he's done for you? Our first part this morning is that man was not made for the Sabbath. Man was not made for the Sabbath. We start with verse 23. On the Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. Now, cutting through someone's grain field and picking some of the grain was not stealing. At this time, it was not against the law. In fact, it was one of the ways that God provided for his people. Deuteronomy explains, this is Deuteronomy 23, if you go into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the ears with your hand, but you shall not put a sickle to your neighbor's standing grain. So as long as you didn't haul out your sickle or your combine and start full on harvesting your neighbor's grain, then it was okay. If you're just picking some grain to satisfy your hunger, it was okay. That was part of the legal code. Now, the Pharisees didn't see it that way. So they're criticizing the disciples for breaking God's law. Verse 24, the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Now, why did the Pharisees think that picking grain was unlawful or against the law? Well, the answer is, they had developed their own man-made laws in addition to the fourth commandment that needed to be obeyed so that you didn't accidentally break the fourth commandment. So to make sure that you didn't work on Sunday, the Pharisees had a long list of what qualified as work that you weren't supposed to do on Sunday. And the list quickly became a list of petty little things that were completely ridiculous, like tying or untying knots. Or you could write one letter of the alphabet, but not two, because then you would be working. According to these additional laws, the work that was forbidden on the Sabbath was reaping and threshing and winnowing and preparing food. So when the disciples were picking heads of grain, they were reaping. When they were rubbing it between their fingers to remove the chaff, all of a sudden they're winnowing, threshing. When they were eating it, all of a sudden they're preparing a meal, breaking the Sabbath. Now the problem is that all of these laws, rules, regulations were not God's law, but rather man-made laws. The Pharisees made the mistake of seeing the commandments as an end in and of themselves. Obedience to the rules without having the motivation of God's grace and thankfulness for what he has done for you. Religious life was all about the rules for them, what you can do and what you can't do. And the Pharisees were so focused on the rules and the laws that they ended up overlooking the reason for those laws. The purpose. Why that law was there, to create space so that you could rest and remember what God had done for you. So that you could anticipate the Messiah coming, the rest that is going to be found in him once and for all. I mean, if you think about what is foundationally, what are the laws about? What is the summary of the law? Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. And why? Well, because of his love for you. And here the Pharisees are just majoring in the minors, focusing on parsing out the commandments, and they end up missing the purpose of God's law, how it points us back to God, how it highlights our inability to obey God's law, which should then lead us to Christ, who has obeyed it perfectly. Jesus in Matthew 23 summarizes the situation well. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others." You're missing the main point. "You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel." Probably had to put your screens up recently because the bugs are out again. As soon as we get nice weather, there they are. Imagine, well, I stopped that fly, but the camel got in. That's the point that Jesus is making. In their effort at not working, they ended up missing the point of what the Sabbath was talking about. And because of their legalism, they didn't experience the blessing of a Sabbath rest because they're working really hard at not working. They're legalistic. And as a result, they ended up weighing other people down with all kinds of extra biblical regulations for the Sabbath. And instead of the day being a delight and being enjoyable, because of the Pharisees and because of their rules, it became a burden. Now, this is a warning to us. If Sunday has become a list of what you have to do and what you cannot do, then you've missed the point. We need to make sure that we do not do to Sunday what the Pharisees did to the Sabbath. And the challenge is, it's so easy. It's so easy to slip into this kind of legalism, to start majoring in the minors, looking at the rules, the do's and the don'ts, and then the goal is completely missed. Christ, our relationship with Him, His grace poured out to us, and our response of gratitude is completely overlooked because I'm busy doing what I'm supposed to do and not doing what I'm not supposed to do. And we're separating our do's and our don'ts from the reason why, from the relationship that is ours in Christ, from the grace that He has shown us, and our thankfulness for that deliverance. And then, like the Pharisees, because we can't keep God's law perfectly, instead of recognizing our inability and running to Christ, we end up adding extra laws that we can keep, and that makes us feel better. Well, I don't do that on Sunday. I must be a pretty good person. Instead of recognizing my inability to keep the law and my dependence on Christ who has. Here we have God's law. And we need to remember that we cannot obey God's law perfectly for our justification. And that's the point. God's law highlights again and again our need for Christ. It points us to Christ. This isn't an excuse just to, do whatever you want. But it's a reminder to look at God's law in the right way. There are times in life that we go through the motions because that's the way it's always been done. And we don't know why. There's a story of a family who had the tradition of cutting off the ends of the ham. At every family get-together, they always cut off the ends of the ham. Mom, why do we cut off the ends of the ham? Well, that's because that's the way my mom did it. Well, year after year, they cut off the ends of the ham until one day someone asked great-grandma, why did you cut off the ends of the ham? And great-grandma sighed with years of wisdom, ready to explain the roots of this family tradition. And she said, because it didn't fit in my pan. But how often don't we do the same? We do things. We don't know why, but that's the way we've always done it. There are times in life when we do things and we go through the motions and we don't know why. We're just obeying the rules for the rules' sake. As we think about what that means for us today, what does Sunday look like for you? Why does it look like that? How is Sunday a festive day to rest? Do you look forward to Sunday? How is it a celebration for you? Or are there any legalistic rules that draw your attention to what you do or don't do and end up taking your focus off of Christ? Because any viewpoint or practice of Sabbath that puts the focus on our behavior a day of the week instead of placing our focus on the accomplished work of redemption by grace in Christ is missing the point. How does the way you spend Sunday help you better see Christ and what He's done for you? Making a commitment not to go shopping on Sunday or not to go to the office that day, that could be driven by a desire to honor the Lord. But it might also be driven by tradition. Well, we've always cut off the ends of the ham. Custom. Fear of man. What would other people think if we didn't cut off the ends of the ham? Ultimately, keeping Sabbath by such behavioral commitments to one day a week isn't a guarantee that you are resting in Christ or that the work, the other 6 days of the week is for the glory of the Lord, unto the Lord. What is important to note, especially as we see the Sabbath legalism in our passage, missing the point completely, is that the Sabbath did not start out as an extensive list or a complex list of rules and do's and don'ts. It started out as a celebration of rest that echoed God's own joy in the sweet fellowship between Him as Creator and us as creature. Sabbath was a celebration of deliverance, first in the Exodus and now more fully in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the true Sabbath. All the Sabbath requirements in the Old Testament point to the rest that he alone would provide for his people by the cross and resurrection. Learning to rest in the salvation that Jesus brought without adding our own efforts is the way that we embrace the Sabbath. The Pharisees became so preoccupied with their rules for applying the law of Moses that they missed the point. That's what Jesus meant when he said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. We should look at the law and realize that we can't obey it perfectly for our justification. But the answer to our failure is not to make more laws that we can obey, but rather to turn to Jesus Christ. What we need to keep in mind is that the Sabbath commandment came from God. This isn't a man-made invention, but rather something that God has put in place for our good. Right from the very beginning of creation, God established this one day in seven principle, and he reiterated, he re-emphasized it when he gave his law to Moses and to his people. The Sabbath came from God. He patterned it after his own work. This is what it looks like to be an image bearer of God. This is what it looks like to be a delivered child of God. And that's why when Jesus came, and he said that he's the Lord of the Sabbath, he was claiming to be God, the God who came up with this idea of Sabbath, the one who set this principle in place, the one who created all things. Since the creation of the world, God has required his people to keep one day in seven set apart for worship, for rest. Jesus preserves this command because when the Sabbath came, he went to the temple in order to worship. He followed the Sabbath regulations. He went and worshiped. But notice, he did not hesitate to break all of the man-made traditions and laws right here in front of the faces of the Pharisees. He's fulfilling it. He's restoring it. He's not eliminating it. And we are called to follow the example of Christ. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. The primary change in the day is that we now celebrate on the first day of the week. This is because Sunday is the day when Jesus was raised from the dead, when he accomplished the rest of the Sabbath that the Sabbath was pointing to. By a mighty act of redemption, as mighty as the act of creation itself, God has blessed a new day and has called it the Lord's Day. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. The Old Testament Sabbath was on the last day of the week. People were looking forward to the rest that they would find when Christ would come. And now that Christ has come, now that the Messiah has come in the person of Jesus Christ, he has fulfilled the Sabbath. And since he is the fulfillment of the Sabbath, we have already began to enter his rest. And that's why we begin our week by resting, acknowledging his lordship over our life, and then comes the work. We rest, we depend on him, knowing that he will provide. Because he already has. And as we enjoy the rest now, it's giving us just a foretaste of the fullness of Christ's accomplishment. When that final rest will come when we're with Christ in glory. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, praying that we will remember, reflect, and acknowledge the reason for your laws, specifically when it comes to the Lord's Day. Lord, keep us from making it a day about our own do's and don'ts, but a day that's focused on Christ and making the space we need to rest and worship Him. Lord, when we stumble, when we fail, because we all do, instead of turning to more rules and regulations, help us to turn to Christ, who was given for the complete forgiveness of all our sins, who came because of our Sabbath breaking in order to give us the rest we so desperately need. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.